Now, the topic that we're going to be speaking about tonight is degenerative diseases, specifically cancer. Now, as a precaution, everyone listening on the line, with a serious diagnosis of cancer, you want to be having doctor's care. However, at the same time, the purpose of the call tonight is to help us to learn ideas how we can protect ourselves and how we can try to avoid that terrible diagnosis. So, of course, there's no certainty of anything. A person can have good, healthy eating habits. They could have a stress-free life, and they could still come down with that. So this is general information. It's a hot topic. Doctors get peed when we talk about this topic. But at the same time, it's valuable information for people to know as much as they can to make sure that we can enjoy a long, healthy quality of life. So, but that's a precaution. In the event of any serious illness, people should have a qualified physician to help them. With that in mind, Al, tell me. Why is there so much cancer in our modern world where we live? Why do we have so much of this cancer in our world?
Well, from my observation and also from all this research and studies that I've done and many, many of the doctors and associations I'm with that I'm in association with that they have done and doctors for the last 100-plus years. And one of the main things that we live in such a toxic world. There's so many hundreds and hundreds of chemicals that's developed every year. Everything has totally changed. Everyone has gotten away from raising their own food. Most of the food we eat is prepackaged, is canned food, and it's a fact now that most of the food the adults as well as children eat is genetically altered.
Wow.
So they have taken all the healthy things, earthy food, and made it wherein they can do mass production of it. And so, like, this was on 2020. I mean, this is not something that's made up. It's been on Nightline. It's been on several programs over the last 3 or 4 years. And they say 90%, like the chips and corn chips, potato chips, and all these type of things, they are genetically grown potatoes. And the problem is they don't have to tell us, they don't have to mention it, just what's being done. Now, another big problem is that most people are heavy meat eaters. When you look at the blood, you find that most people, because of the way the body is designed, God when he designed the body, man, because of our structure of our teeth, we don't have like the meat eaters like the lion and the tigers and so forth. We don't have those long, sharp teeth that help to tear down the fiber and stuff like any meat. So, but our diet is too much meat. Meat is highly acidic. Also, meat is the body's not capable of breaking down all the excess protein that because in fact most people eat like a 10, 12-ounce steak they eat, and it takes anywhere to 3-2, according to different research, it can take as much as 2 to 3 days or more for the body eating process, just maybe one steak, one meal. And what happens to the average person about the age of 70, I mentioned before, they eat anywhere between 60 to 70 tons of food. And then most of the food we eat is cooked. And when the food is cooked, well, that in itself destroys all enzymes. Now, being that every cell in the body is a living organism, it has electromagnetic, and it needs oxygen, it needs water, and it needs nourishment. If most of the food people eat is cooked food, that means everything is cooked above 118 degrees. Well, that kills all enzymes and nutritionals. So what happens is that the food we eat is stripped. And even though it fills us up, we feel like we've been satisfied. But because of the way our diet is that over the years, that constant accumulated effect of that eating that meat, processed food, all these snacks, then on top of that, most of all our meals, where we accommodate our meals, most people eat. If they eat, they drink with the meals. They drink sodas. They drink milk. They drink tea. And all these things interfere with the natural process we God designed the body in order for it to break down for the hydrochloric acids and the various acids in the stomach, the various process that goes on in the intestinals. And then to make a bad situation worse, we get acid indigestion or things like that. We take all these different antacids and things like this. So what does that do? That goes in and causes interfere with digestion even further. And most people eat food too fast. They don't chew the food. We're supposed to chew each mouthful of food 45 to 50 times. But who does that? It's a very handful of the people. Most food should be cut up and eaten very slowly. So it's just a number of things. So what happens? And as you look at the blood and look at these are all clinical, medically proven facts, and the body, it does everything it can to process, break down, eliminate. So we have different type of enzymes that's supposed to break these things down. But what happens, the body, on the systematic enzymes, the digestive enzymes, the pancreas and so forth, everything the body gets overworked. Then all this acid began to build up. And this acid and the more in the sugars and the excess carbohydrates and the starches and all this protein, all this combination of foods, it caused a buildup of excess fungi, yeast, all kind of different types of acids in the body. Now, these things cause the cells to break down and it blocks the oxygen flow that the body ability to process and utilize oxygen efficiently. It also takes and interferes with the body ability to absorb different nutrients. So what the body has to do has to develop all these excess to keep us alive. That's the reason why I say we have 67% obesity or more in this country, because in fact the body, to compensate, to save us, keep us alive, it developed all these excess fat cells to store all that acid and waste. Then all this excess fungi and yeast. The yeast holds three to four times its weight in toxins. And then what happens is that builds up in the body. These things feed off our cells, and then as it eat, it's like we are being there, also living organism. They taking this like a source, a sort of urinating potty back into our blood and into our body. So they're called macrotoxins, extratoxins, and it just get to a point that the cells just begin to slowly die. And when you look at the live blood, you see all this crap that has built up from years and years of this waste. And then once they stay alive, the cells begin to mutate and start taking different shapes, different forms. And on top of that, the cells that's normally, in order to breathe, it becomes an anaerobic cell. That means it doesn't need any oxygen for it to stay alive. So that anaerobic cell, being it doesn't need oxygen, it's going to turn into, because of the high acid, the low oxygenation of the body, the blood. The blood is thick. It's not flowing like it needs to. A lot of organs, certain organs, not getting the proper. If it can't get the proper blood flow, can't get nourishment, nutrients, vitamins, and oxygen. So all these things, on a cumulative effect, between the age of 34 and especially 50s and 60s, and a big problem is the masses of the population. They drink rather than drinking their proper amount of water, which is 1/2 ounce for every pound of body weight, they barely drink a quart of water a day. So all this waste and toxins and chemical, then whatever stress level a person have. So these things weaken the organ, and then these anaerobic cells begin to take over. And so they eat on healthy cells, tissues, organs. And then we have that's what is major contributing factor to all these cancers. It's just some of these things that major contributing factor. So it's so in the cancer itself, according to several doctors and studies, is not so much it's not a disease. It's a symptom of the waste, the years of waste and toxins that the body has built up that it can't get rid of. So whatever weak areas of the body and so forth, like say being that this these cells turn anaerobic, and normally most of us can have millions of these cells in our body. A study I've just read back about a year or so ago, according to Mayo Clinic, and they're saying that average person have cancer cells comes up 6 or more times during their lifetime. But it depends on the immune system, how the diet and other factors, whether the body is strong enough to overcome it. But because of, say, the things that's going on with all of us, our diet, what we're doing, the body doesn't have anything to really fight with. Most of them eat the white flour, the sugar, the excess high meat. We drink all kind of sodas, excess consumption by alcohol. There's all these things cause an overload of toxic buildup in the body that the body can't rid itself of. And with the body, to stay alive, like I said, it's going to do what it has to do. And it will mutate into cancerous type cells, and that those cells will feed on healthy cells, healthy tissues. And because what has happened, and I've seen myself, I've seen reversal cancer in several people who totally changed, got off the meats, got off so different things, other than the diet and so forth, and within 3 to 4, 6 months. Dick was back to a healthy, very healthy state. Now, then those who went astray again, in 3 to 6 months, they had cancer to come back on them. So cancer like diabetes, cancer, and most of the 75-80% that, according to clinical and scientific studies, show 75-80% most all illness that's not caused by some type of like an insect bite or some kind of infection from something has to do with long-term toxicity buildup in the body from our diet, from our choices we made. That old saying, that little hole under our nose, our mouth, and what we chuckle into that is, and the years and years of buildup of that cause, so is a contributing factor to all our to the major amount of our health conditions, and it's something that requires a lifestyle adjustment, lifestyle change, and that's the whole thing. It's the masses of the population not willing to make those changes because the foods and the ice cream and cakes and cookies and the sodas, all these meat, and then when you go to the grocery store, 95% everything in the middle aisles of the grocery store, the body can't handle it, can't break it down. And most things, you know, got fructose. Has corn syrup, high fructose and sweeteners. Now, the pancreas and so forth, in fact, when you eat that, the body don't even recognize it as food, and it causes tremendous stress on the pancreas. And that causes excess body to produce excess glucose and excess sugar, and so that causes people to want to eat more and have more cravings, and that can contribute to a contributing factor rather to all the diabetes. So it's just a number of different factors. But normally the bottom line is what we're eating, our lifestyle, what we're doing. Are we basically, it's our lifestyle that we're doing. Are we getting proper rest, proper hydration? Are we eating proper foods, or live foods. The body's designed to eat, to thrive off live food with energy and life in it. Organic vegetables, fruit, nuts, grains, and so forth. But most of our diet include food that's basically raw. They're put in a blender, a juicer. But the fact that most of our diet does not consist of that, and the years and years of putting in the other, eating it, doing the other way, is a contributing factor.
That's right, and one needs to watch the additives too, things like aspartame.
Yes.
And.
But that's in all the food additives and everything. Just about it. Need to read our labels.
Read the labels.
Anything we buy.
That's right. Read the labels very, very carefully.
Or what's over all the microwaves, things like that. And it's where you can have instant meals and try to eat more on the raw side, food that's lightly steamed, food that's just more of the salads and juicing and things like that. And even though it's a very unappealing to the masses, but once that's done, the body takes on a whole different level of health, energy, and alertness and everything else. It makes a major difference.
Right, that's right. Other things that I was researching is you want to avoid smoking. That's very important.
Right. It's lifestyle change of our habits.
Yes.
Excess alcohol consumption is something that, and see the young people, they just pour it on because they, like college kids and other people, and adults as well. And the body only can handle just. And that's one of the things the Bible said, do all things in moderation. It cannot handle excesses of things.
Other things to keep in mind, avoid fluoride. That's very important, fluoride. Asbestos.
Well, there's been things just in the last couple of weeks about the fluoride, but it's in all the water, it's in the toothpaste, and most just everybody use some type of fluoride toothpaste. And all these things, and the problem is, like I said, they have the cumulative effect. And a lot of the things the body can't process, can't eliminate it, so it stores in the liver and stores in other parts of the body. And once it gets to a toxic overload, then it causes, and so many people, too, have had metal toxicity, feelings in the teeth, mercury and different other things, and so forth. That, as we get older, all these things, and the buildup of toxins take and released and contributed to all these different illnesses, cancers, and so forth.
Exactly. What is your opinion about root canals?
Root canals? Well, what I've read, what a lot of they recommend, do not recommend really people to get root canals because it's a fact that all your teeth, every teeth in your mouth, is connected to organs of the body. So when that happens, I got a diagram of that, and when they do different root canals and they do the different things, and it depends, don't know how sterile or whatever the instruments is being used, and entered a bacteria. In fact, it was something on 2020. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago. How the filth that's in these dentists, and I know this gentleman personally who got a root canal. And he was worked 4 or 5 days a week. He very fit guy. He ended up getting a root canal, and 2 days later, after that, he just started feeling weak and sick. And then he got so weak and sick, he had to take him to the emergency room and found out the root canal, whatever the dental instruments was not that clean. And he got a serious infection, bacteria infection, and it literally went in and started eating away his arteries. Damaged his heart, and this guy, it's been over 15, about 12, 14 years ago. I don't know if he's still, how he's doing, he's living now. I haven't seen him or talked to him in quite a while. But he went from a state of health, work, being able to work out, run 2 or 3 miles a day, to a very weak, sick individual. So, you have to be very, very careful and to know the dentist and so forth that you are dealing with. Because of the fact that the teeth, all your teeth are connected to various organs, heart, liver, kidneys, and so forth. And when you they get to doing different things in your mouth, well, you want to know that is something that is clean and very sanitary.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing I was reading about, researching about cancer, is women and the association that they can have being menopausal and then getting the diagnosis of breast cancer. And I've been reading that women really, really need to be careful when they're menopausal and they're going through the hormonal changes of having the lesser amount of estrogen, that they be very careful about not having any hormone replacement therapy, i.e., you know, the Premarin, the horse urine. Rather, it's much more beneficial to have bioidentical progesterone cream, which will balance the estrogen and the progesterone. What do you feel about that, Al?
Well, that is true, because it's a fact that anything that, like, say, the horse urine, and what they do when they do the hormone replacement, they totally change the natural structure of the when the, because, you know, anything that's natural, they have to change the structure in order to sell it as a drug or chemical. So when that happens, the body cannot process, like I said, being the body only identifies, it only accepts things that it has living, live enzymes and minerals and different things that it would process. Now, if it don't have that, it will take a whole different route. And when that happens, it causes these different chemical reactions in the cells, and because the brain, the hypothalamus and the thymus and all these different parts of the brain send certain messages. It knows exactly what it's getting, and when it gets these things, that chemicals, and like all these drugs, all these side effects, reason why you hear these side effects is because the body reaction to the toxicity of it. And so it has to readjust and so forth, and that in itself is contributing to a lot of the, what the, this hormone replacement, and where you get the natural creams that is made from various herbal or natural nutritional vegetables or whatever. This is what the body is deficient in. Everything, most all illness, like I mentioned earlier, has to do with a deficiency in excess toxins and waste that's not being removed. And the deficiency has to do with they have been getting the proper, to keep the hormones healthy. So by getting progesterone cream and other type of natural healthy foods, it's going to help re-nourish the cells, help re-nourish the hormones, so to get the body a chance to balance. And as it starts balancing, the condition that a person have will start to correct itself. And that's really what, and medication is in long term use of medication, and just for all cases, no one has gotten healthy, because you can't put a toxin or chemical into a body that needs live acted food that has live acted enzymes and vitamins and minerals, and expect it not to, in the long term, not to break it down and cause destruction and weaken the other organs and so forth. And that's the reason why they have to take so many other drugs or chemicals to correct or to the effects of the drugs that cause all the different additional imbalances. So, yeah, that's definitely want to do, to go the more natural route, to things that put nourish, that help nourish the cells, re-nourish the hormones, and that causes the deficiency in the first place. And, again, stress acidity. Acidity, they know that long-term acidity causes the hormones, the blood pressure, the kidneys, the liver, everything to get out of balance, because the body's doing everything to keep that blood at 7.35 alkalinity, and it that in itself would cause all kinds of different, it would pull from all these organs and so forth, and it causes a deficiency and imbalance in them. And so keeping our body the alkaline by doing the more foods, that raw foods, whole foods, rather than cooked, processed, and things from cans and food that's fast foods and things like that, that's high acidity and just high dieting meats and so forth.
Right, and drinking lots of water is very important.
Definitely. I just want to say that is extremely important.
Yes, drinking lots of water. And another thing I was reading, too, is it's very important to have enough calcium, but you want to make sure you get the right calcium. And I guess the best calcium you can get is lots of fresh fruits and vegetables.
Well, most all your vegetables are raw vegetables. See, the thing is that it is a fact most of them do not eat raw. So five or six servings of vegetable, raw fruits. And that should be raw, not in a can. And it causes kale, inverse, and different other has high calcium. But the thing is, to really get the benefit of it, because of the fact most of our digestive systems are out of balance because of most people have acid reflux, or very low enzymes, and so forth. We basically need to either juice or need to put these things in a blender of some kind. So you can break down excess fiber and the body can assimilate and absorb it better. Yes, definitely to eat more of the raw veggies to have all the things, because they come up from the earth, and all these minerals and all these things that the body needs is in the plants, and it preferably, of course, the organic food is definitely preferable.
Right, right. And I also read that vitamin D intake is very crucial, too, to keep your health and to get the calcium to be more absorbable and assimilable. The vitamin D is critical. You need to have enough levels of vitamin D. And
yes.
People just aren't getting enough sunshine, are they?
Well, even the children, as they said, even children now used to go and play now. Most of the schools have cut out recess and activities and so forth. And so most people don't get that much sunshine. Most of the time we're inside on our computers, and all your computers, you can get these like little Geiger that would detect the radioactive coming off the computer.
Yeah.
And most people that are spending 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 hours in front of the computer, they're getting a lot of radioactive particles and so forth in their body. And after so many years, that definitely is going to break the cell tissue down, along with whatever else they may be doing. It can contribute to the cancers and
right.
other type of illnesses.
Right. Now, there is a solution for that. It's called Q-Link. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Q-Link is a device that you can just wear around your neck, and
right.
that does help to protect you from that excess radiation.
Yes. That is something that is a valuable. It runs about, depending on where you get them, and $60 to $100, $100 or so.
Right. $100 will do it, yeah. I wear one. My loved ones all wear one, and I swear by them. It really, really helps. Especially, like you say, if you're by a computer quite a bit, it really helps.
You know, so a lot of people's jobs require them to be in front of the computer.
That's
so
right.
It is necessary to have something to help to prevent the radiation from absorbing to the body. Because it's just a matter of time. It may be a 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but if you're not doing something to prevent the radiation from absorbing, well, it definitely going to cause serious tissue damage that can cause different types of complications later on.
That's right. So for everyone, again, Q-Link, you can get that online. Q-Link, highly recommend it. It does work very well. So vitamin D intake, you know, and here we are in the winter, and you know, there's only a few states that are enjoying wonderful weather, like the Florida and Nevada and, I guess, Arizona. But everyone else is in the cold. So how much vitamin D do you recommend that we take? And is it vitamin D2 or vitamin 3, D3, that we should be taking? Sometimes people don't know which one's better.
I think a lot of them recommend vitamin D3.
Yeah.
And they said the average person needs 2,000 to 4,000 or so milligrams daily, and it got to be a vitamin D that is high absorption. It has very good absorption because, according to this doctor that's long-term studies, is that the sun has, and being that each cell has, we are energy. All cells is energy, like so we talk about a negative charge. The sun takes and helps to recharge. If you notice that if it be cloudy for 3 or 4 or 5 days, and a rain, it feels so blasé, just feel. Then we get these lights, of course, to help stimulate. But the sun is, of course, has the maximum energy of anything. And according to when we are in the sun, the sun takes in, re-nourish or replenish this energy, which causes all kind of reaction to help in keeping our body and getting rid of keeping our body healthy and energized and doing processing things in its proper way. So, yeah, it is something that everybody's gotten away from doing, and they talk about being because they talk about the sun is bad, but we're not talking about just laying in the sun for 4 or 5 hours. But everybody definitely need to be getting sunshine because, in fact, each cell has the energy the sun gives. It has a reaction with the cells to help keep the body at more of a healthy and state.
What do you think about suntan parlors? I'm going for a suntan and the suntan parlor for 5 minutes or so. Is that a good idea or not? No,
well, all that's just artificial lights. And those artificial lights, anything that's artificial like that, does very seldom and rarely have proven to have the natural energy that is given by sunlight. Now, it does help give a person, you know, they get tan and so forth, things like that. But as far as the way the body is designed to work with natural things from nature.
Right. Good point. You know, because when you go into a suntan parlor, it says, oh, the benefits of vitamin D. But I'm thinking, well, gee, yeah, these are artificial lights. This is not the sunshine. So they're trying to simulate something that is from nature, and it's not working well, I guess. No.
Because they say the energy from the sun and the energy from the cell, each cell has this energy in it. And see, it's so much that man is just beginning to understand the last 2 years. The body has cycles, and we have these called meridians. Now, and the meridian of each of the body and so forth, and that has to do with the current flow and going in and out of the cells. And so you got to take several, and not, of course, they're going into all kind of deep stuff, but this what sun helps in recharging. It's like a battery. Our cells is like the battery. And the sun helps recharge, constantly recharge the battery, because if there was no sun, what would live?
Okay.
Everything, just a matter of time, it would just everything start dying.
That's
because
right.
The energy, that energy from the sun would cause everything to wither away and dry. But of course, it does supply rain and so forth to help balance everything, but balance. But our diet, our food, that's when you have a certain amount to eat certain things to help that energy that the sun is giving to process itself in a way that keeps everything healthy.
Right, right. Yeah, I had a lady call the other day, and she said, what do you have for depression? And I said to her, have the person go out for a walk, get some fresh air, and get some sunshine. She says,
that can make
a
big difference. A lot of people can't.
We don't carry anything for depression, but that's my best shot. Go for a walk, get some sunshine, get some fresh air.
I found that a lot of depression too. A lot of people, they are at a chronic state of long. They've been dehydrated for a long time, and they're in a chronic state of dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
Because the brain, 20% of all water that goes into the body, the brain is the first thing that gets to water. Has an article I was reading the other day, is that when a person is dehydrated, one of the signs of dehydration, it can be dizziness, confusion, headache. They can't think clearly, brain fog, because, in fact, the brain has, because all the electromagnetic, all the processes going on, that's going on with the brain, it takes lot time, and the brain is right at 85%+ water, and not drinking the proper amount of water, it literally causes short circuiting, and the brain is like screaming, I'm thirsty. And most people, what they do is they drink something that, and most of the drinks, the things they drink, like anything, milk, tea, and things like that, and definitely sodas. All these things can contribute to further dehydration. So, and they say find it ADD and so forth in children has a lot to do with that. And they pump them up with these drugs. And most, very few children really drink water. They drink either some kind of sweet drink, sodas, milk, fruit drinks, and things like that. And the body cannot and does not recognize that as water. And it only it must have that water in order for it to brain to function properly. Because I know it's true because my sister has been suffering from depression and so forth for the last 20 plus years. And she goes, she drank very little water. I've got on a water regimen where she was drinking at least right almost close to that gallon a day. And all the medication and depression in the last 9 months or so, she's been in a better state than I've seen her in the last 15 years.
Wonderful. Well, that's a good thing to learn. So if someone asks me again for that, I'll say exercise, fresh air, sunshine, and lots of water and a good diet.
But you ask him, are you drinking at least 2 quarts of water a day? Well, no, not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And just for her 10 people, 8 to 9, were saying, well, no, I don't drink as much as I should. And that in itself would give you, and then if they drink a lot of coffee,
right,
and a different, it's like, say, you got to look at what they're putting in their diet, and all these things will, or after doing this for such a certain length of time, will cause short circuiting and will contribute to depression.
Right.
Yeah, other
problems. Now, microwave cooking, what do you think of that? A lot of people aren't really aware of the dangers of microwave cooking, so maybe we'll spend a few minutes on that.
Well, sent to the recycle bin.
Do not give to the poor. That would be cruel.
Sent to the recycle bin to be of any metal to be recycled,
mm-hmm,
because, in fact, the microwave, because of the radioactive, the waves of it cause total altering of the infrastructure of food and make food toxic to the body. And the body cannot process it, cannot break it down. And there is no anything over 118 degrees, and with that high heat, it totally destroys any type of enzyme in it. So when you eat the food, it goes into the body can't utilize it, so it constantly doing that can contribute to all kinds of different illness, sickness, because it causes the pancreas, the liver, and every organ of the body has to do something with this excess toxin. The food become more toxic. And then if you're doing, people eat the microwave food, it warming up quickly, toaster oven and so forth, it may take an extra 3 or 4 minutes, but a person much better off warming up, heating things in some type of toaster oven, or take a bamboo steamer or something like that, rather than in a microwave.
Wonderful. Very good. Just had to put that in because so many people love that microwave, and I shake my head and say, oh, you do not know what you do not know. Anyway, at this time, I would like to open up the lines for anyone that has any questions. So we have about 10 minutes left, and please go ahead and ask Al Copeland questions. We'll take the first question now. Anyone have a question tonight? Please go ahead.
I have a question. This is Esther.
Hi.
And, Al Copeland, I was wondering if you could speak to people that have a sciatica, a nerve issue going on. What might they use to treat that?
Sciatic nerve, in most cases, what is a contributing factor for the reason why they have it? Do you have an idea?
Yeah, the person was lifting 500 pounds when they pinched it when they first got injured. And so now it comes back every so often.
Well, the sciatic nerve, they were lifting 500 pounds. And a lot of times when that happens, because I had something similar, they can end up pulling or damaging some type of muscle, because all the muscles and nerve, everything is so interconnected in the body. And one thing that possibly could help them, find a good trigger point therapist. And the trigger point therapist, which has to deal with the, because the muscles in different parts of the body that causes signals to the nerve or cause that. And a lot of times that can help a lot, is that trickle-punch therapist. And of course, when a physical therapist and other type of therapy don't seem to do it, a chiropractor and so forth. Had you been to a chiropractor?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and that didn't help?
No, not really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times it has to do because I found I went to three or four chiropractors, and I got treatment two or three times a week for over 15 months. And I found a trickle-punch therapist. I drive all the way to Pennsylvania to work to 500 miles. But one session, it alleviated all that pain that I had suffered with for 15 months. In two sessions, and with then gave certain exercise to do, in less than a month or 2 months' time, boom, gone. So, you know, that could definitely, in the area, is there any trickle-punch therapist in the area you live?
I don't know. This is the first I heard of it, so I'll check it out. So have you had any problems since?
No. If every now and then I feel a little teeny twinge, but as far as the problem like I had, oh, God, it's like 98%.
Okay. All right, we'll check out that trigger point therapist.
Yeah, check it out, because if it has to do with sciatic nerves and so forth, and if that person, if they're hydrating and things like that, like they need to, it could be definitely has something to do with connection of a muscle or damage that was done somewhere else in the body. And when they did this, they trickled it. They trickled something that caused like the nerve problem.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. Any other questions? Please go ahead.
Al, this is Dottie. Can you?
Hey, Dottie.
Can you give me a good suggestion on how to measure the alkaline of my body to be sure that it has the right balance that I can do for myself?
Well, you can, this place called Voxa. It's online, Voxa, V-A-X-A, and they got some real medical-grade pH strips. You get 100 of them, about $14, something like that.
The pH strips?
Yeah, and it's
okay.
Your urine.
And that's what company, please?
Huh? Excuse me?
And that's what company, please?
Called Voxa. Voxa.
That's on the internet?
A-X-A, Voxa.
Okay.
And get the pH strip. And what you do on the test, your urine in the morning,
mm-hmm.
On first on get up, and then in the afternoon and in the evening for the first 3 or 4 days. Your urine should be after between 10 o'clock during the day and 9, 10 o'clock at night.
I was told by a doctor that the saliva testing strips were better than the urine strips.
According to Dr. Young, is that the urine, the kidneys is what has to do with really flushing, removing acid from the body.
Well, that's what I thought.
And it gives you a more accurate reading. All they say that saliva depends on what you ate, or if you ate something and you put the strip in, and you normally don't get as accurate
a reading
as you do. And I got information from different doctors and different studies I've done, and they show that it's the urine that gives you the more accurate information.
Okay.
And it should be somewhere between 7.3 to 7.5.
I understand.
Down
that.
Below 7.65 and below, and you stay in that way 3 or 4 days. Your body is staying in the acid state.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets down to 6.0 and below 6.0,
that's dangerous.
Not good, because in fact, that means your body is storing and hoarding lots of acid, and it's not being removed, not flushing. And what's happening? The body will start pulling from all your calcium, magnesium, and things from your joints, whatever minerals in various organs, and the body's doing everything it can because the blood has to stay at 7.35. And over the long haul, it can contribute to things with the blood pressure, different other type of, and all kind of other type of health conditions as well.
Thank you. I have another question. Is it best to use just one food group at a time, of small amounts, say five times a day, rather than to eat a confusing amount of foods, a balanced diet in one sitting? I've heard that too.
From food groups, you can get things like food combinating.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Robert Young, he has a book called The pH Miracle and things like that, gives a good different food combinations. For example,
okay.
If you're eating a steak, some people eat like a meat, potatoes, and they eat and they're eating bread and so forth. And so eating a carbohydrate along with a high protein meal, then what happens, it takes different proteins to break those things down. And then all these things are mostly acid. And if you eat like a salad, you will eat that salad, eat a meat, and you eat the meat basically by itself, especially fruits, like fruits and so forth, you should be eating. Now, most people, they put fruits in a whole bunch of other things because it takes different enzymes to break these things down.
Yeah.
Or you need to eat them more separate. So
puts the body in a state of confusion, right?
A confused state, and don't break the food down and don't get proper assimilation.
Yeah.
And absorb, it can't absorb the nutrients, and it causes higher, more acidity and excess sugars, and which turns into, can turn the yeast and the fungi and other, and which
that makes sense. Thank you.
Damage your body.
Thank you.
Great question, Dottie.
Well, I've heard that from some chiropractors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a meat eater anyway.
How do you acidity to stay? You stay pretty much alkaline or? What?
Yeah, I stay pretty well. I'm a good girl. I eat the right things.
That's good.
But I wanted to know about that testing, too, so I can take care of it myself.
Right.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. Any other questions? We got about 2 minutes left.
Okay, I have a question. This is Joan from Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Hi,
my question is, Al, do you have an opinion on the types of the drink? Types of water, alkaline versus reverse osmosis, or?
Well, so I've owned all of them. You got to be drinking, because in fact, for every part of acid, it takes 20 parts or more alkalinity. Acids are so powerful and so corrosive, so damaging to the body. So the alkaline water of 8.5 to a 9.0 alkalinity, and every hour or so, to really get the body hydrated, a person need to be drinking anywhere between 8 to 9 or so ounces. If a person is very active, or if every 25 pounds a person is overweight, they need to drink an extra 10 ounces. A very active person need to drink extra water, who like workout and so forth. So the average person should be drinking no less than 90 to 100 ounces a day. If they're very active, to a gallon and a half or more, so alkaline water.
Alkaline, okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? We have time, I think, for one more. Go ahead, please.
Well, everybody needs to remember that when Al says water, he means water, not liquid.
No.
Those
only
are two different
water.
Things
knows
that the body
got,
needs.
Like, the salivary receptacles on the tongue, and if you put anything in your mouth, instantly goes to the hypothalamus, the brain, where it signals the adrenal glands and the kidneys,
mm-hmm.
and it tells, and got the nerve endings in the cells, it tells the body what's coming in it. And if it's not water, it's a totally different processing that it goes through. Like I said, tea, coffee, sweet drinks, juices, no. Now, the only thing you can't put a lemon in water, and you drink, and that's good for flushing the body. But anything else, no.
Well, it's been a wonderful call, Al, as always. Really enjoyed it, and I'm sure the listeners really enjoyed it and appreciate it, too. Thank you so very, very
sure.
much.
Yeah. Well, everybody have one for night. Enjoy being here.
Yes, really enjoyed having you. So let's plan to have you next month. Love it. Okay, thank you, everyone, for coming on the call tonight.
Good night.
Been great. Good night now.